Welcome to another Savvy Selling Podcast, where you can learn savvy new ideas on how to sell more and connect more from sales experts around the world. I'm your host, Michelle Nichols, Savvy Selling columnist here at BusinessWeek.com. Last week, our guest was David Pearson from Miller Hyman, talking about cross-selling and upselling. You can download it from BusinessWeek.com. Today, our guest is Mr. Pradeep Anand, president of Cedar Resources in Houston, Texas, and author of, I love this title, his book is called An Indian in Cowboy Country, which is a bestseller on Amazon. In our previous podcast, I promised we'd talk about international business. Well, actually, we're going to talk about international business in reverse, because in the next 10 minutes or so, you will learn some strategies on how immigrants to the United States can be more successful in sales. Pradeep Anand grew up in Bombay, India, and graduated from the prestigious Indian Institute of Technology. He has an MBA from the University of Houston. He's worked for 25 years in the oil field services industry, both for other companies and for his own company. And now he's written a book about his experiences. As he says, he's an Indian in cowboy country. Welcome, Pradeep.
Thank you, Michelle. That's quite an introduction.
Pradeep, I know you help people from other parts of the world be successful in business and in sales in the United States. How do you explain to them that selling is a respected vocation here in the United States?
By actually turning the whole concept back to the individual, because let me assure you that any immigrant who's in this country has done a great selling job to get here.
Okay.
Whether they came in as a student, in which case they have to sell to universities about their capabilities from 10,000 miles away, or if they've immigrated to the United States to work here, then they have sold that concept that they have the expertise, the credibility, and the professionalism to work in the United States to their bosses, so their bosses trust them. So at the end of the day, most of the people who are here are excellent salesmen to begin with. And then it's just a matter of extending that analogy from a personal one to a professional one by telling them that in life, to be successful, you have to be able to sell your ideas, and all you're doing is, rather than looking at it on one plane, which is like a 360-degree unidimensional selling plane, engineers quickly grasp that concept that you are at the center of a selling sphere. You have to sell an idea or a concept not only to yourself, to people around you, but also above you, people close to you and across oceans and across hemispheres. So the whole concept of selling is not alien to them. It's just a matter of bringing it into their professional sphere. And then finally, you address the issue that if you're really driven by money and wealth, there is no profession that is better compensated than selling.
I see. So maybe it's that drive to have a more successful life that brought them to the United States. They can harness that same drive to be successful in selling or in business, right?
Absolutely.
And do they have trouble accepting this concept? Because selling is not as respected around the world in other parts of the world as it is here in the United States.
It's like everything else. Not everybody is a salesman or a salesperson. But those who grasp the concept intuitively and intellectually have to then grasp it at the intuitive level. And that's very difficult to do. And some people accept it intellectually, but really don't have the wherewithal to make that stride from the back office to being in touch with people and customers. So there is this whole issue of interpersonal skills that are also important. And often immigrants are not very confident about making that leap for very simple reasons. Is that they have a hard time with their language in communications in English. And there's also an issue about creating a cultural fit.
So what is some advice that you give them about how they can be more effective at selling here in the United States?
Learn the language. In India, more than 400 million people speak English in India in some form or another. More people speak English in India than they do in the United States and Canada. But Indian English is very, very different from American English. So the most important thing is to unlearn some of that Indian English, if you will. Words like prepone, pass out, upgradation, updation. When there are no words to describe some of the things that you're doing, people invent new words. Prepone, for example, is the opposite of postpone.
Oh, okay. You had me lost there, and I'm a pretty good word girl, so okay.
And pass out is graduation.
Okay.
People pass out of school. They pass out of school. They don't graduate. And then, of course, you have words like upgradation, which is a technical term for upgrading your software. Or if you update your software, it's called updation.
I gotcha.
But then on the other side, you also have to learn some American English. And trust me, there are a lot of variations between British English and American English, or for that matter, even Indian English. For example, India has a series of numbers, which after thousands, the next large unit is a lakh. A lakh is 100,000, and a crore is 100 lakhs. So they have to move over to millions and billions, those kinds of numbers. Then you also have alphabets. For example, Z in the United States is Z in India. And then you have words like trunk for dicky and elevator for lift, potato chips for wafers. Indian English is very different. I tell them don't use idioms. Most of the idioms that are used in the United States, particularly in Texas, are more rural and farming oriented. Most Indians are not very familiar with these. And they just come out sounding wrong.
Okay.
Stick to plain English.
Do you have some cultural advice?
Cultural advice, we just have to recognize that when you're dealing with people with different cultural backgrounds, there are different cultural norms and practices and expectations. For example, you have to work with issues related to, for example, concept of time. Americans are one of the most punctual people you can find in the world, while in India, that it's IST or Indian Standard Time is often called Indian Stretchable Time. The reason for that is not that people don't have an intention of reaching their appointments on time. It's just that there are just too many variables along the way that can, for example, traffic or a late-running train, can actually stop people from making their appointments. All appointments in India is related to intent and may or may not happen. But in the U.S., you don't have that issue. Often, you can make adequate plans to be on time. So being on time is a very different concept between India and the United States. The other one is personal space. Americans, wherever you are in the United States, do love their personal space. And in states where they have very few people and wide open spaces, even more so. In India, space is limited. So people have a tendency to stand pretty close to each other and not recognize that they're actually invading other people's personal space. So there are these subtle kinds of issues, and there are issues related to business etiquette, like if you ask somebody out for lunch, you're the one who pays the bill, or rather the check. See, there's nomenclature language there. Then you have issues about what do you discuss during these meetings, of course, equality of sexes. So there are all these cultural norms that you need to bring within your realm in order to be successful in selling.
Good. Before we close, can you tell me a success story that will encourage other immigrants, no matter where they're from in the world, that have moved to the United States so they can be more successful in sales and business here?
The best example I can give, actually, I started off my consulting practice 13 years ago after having worked in the industry for about a dozen years. And since then, I've helped CEOs and senior executives accelerate the growth and profitability of their companies. The interesting thing is, for 13 years, I have reviewed both my sales successes and failures. In all instances, after having analyzed every one of the successes and failures, I've discovered that there's just one simple issue behind every success. In every situation, whether won or lost, there's only one factor that ultimately decides whether a customer will buy from you, and that is you have to gain a customer's trust. And this has happened over and over again. When I first started, that trust factor was very apparent to my first customers because I had worked for them.
Gotcha.
But once these people recognized that I could perform as a consultant, word spread around to sister divisions of the companies where my former bosses were. And it is this transference of credibility that allowed me to pick up different divisions within the same conglomerate, so to speak, and across industries. And very slowly, this ripple effect of trust went from people I knew to people I kind of knew, to total strangers. The fundamental thing behind even building this trust, I would say, the most important thing that actually delivered customers to me was the fact that I was a subject matter expert. Expertise and credibility is one of the biggest contributors. Not only expertise and credibility, but the second element I felt was important in building this trust was that I not only understood the customer's business and industry, but I could actually empathize with the customer's buying situation. What was the problem that they were facing, and how could they actually get themselves out of that situation and execute to perfection? The third element which contributes to this trust is the consultative skills and creativity necessary to find the right answer. It's just not the skills, but also the right attitude of wanting the right answer. I believe this, combined with other elements which are important, such as professionalism, execution, and of course, finally, you do need social and communication skills, which comes with practice. When you put all these six factors together, you create what the customer actually looks for in a buying decision, and that is trust. Is that a good example?
And that's a great story, and you gave a lot of good advice and encouraging advice, Pradeep, because that's really an important thing, is to encourage people that they can do it, they can be successful. America is known for the land of opportunity because we have so much opportunity here, and I know that your words have helped many people and will help many people be able to grasp and take advantage of that opportunity. But it looks like we're running out of time here, so it's time to wrap up. Pradeep Anand, thank you very much. I know you have more stories and information at your website, www.seeta.com. That's SEETA.com. Again, I'm your host, Michelle Nichols, the Savvy Selling Columnist here at businessweek.com. Now get out there and sell something.